I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. An adaptation of Giovanni C's A Taste of Empire has been playing as part of the PUSH International Performing Arts Festival this past week. There are five more performances of Lasa ng Imperio, evening performances tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday and Friday, with a matinee on Saturday. Visit pushfestival.ca for tickets and information. Joining me now is Carmela Sison, the star of the Rice and Beans Theater production, who is also instrumental in this adaptation and translation. The show is in Tagalog with English surtitles. I'll ask Carmela about the show and the themes explored, like globalization and colonialism, along with how the food we consume is shaped by the world around us, and how tastes, even identity, are formed as a result. During the show, Ms. Sison's character, sous chef Mela, prepares and cooks a stuffed milk fish, relienong bangus. It's a complicated dish to prepare, as the fish is deboned and then stuffed, usually with tomatoes, onions, and other aromatics. Carmela Sison is a graduate of the University of Alberta's BFA in Acting program, who has been working in theater and film for 15 years, as well as acting. She's produced, worked in arts administration, and coaching for young actors. The show is on at the Nest on Granville Island. The production is directed by Marcus Youssef. Please welcome to the Planta Online program, Carmela Sison. Ms. Sison, good morning.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. So the show is called Lasa ng Imperio. I hope I got that right. It's a translation of this play by Giovanni C., A Taste of Empire. How old is the original play?
The original play debuted, I believe, in 2010 in Toronto with Cahoots Theatre. And it came to Vancouver, I think, once in 2014 and once again in 2016. So it's had a few lives already. It's been 15 years then since Giovanni's debuted it.
Yeah, and so you were involved in this new production in terms of translating it. Is that correct?
Yeah, translating, and very quickly realized it was more of an adaptation, simply because of, you know, having Filipina say these words, and also because it has been a few years since the original was written, there are just a few kind of updates in terms of references, pop culture, or political references. The work that we've really been doing the past few years was not only translating language and kind of navigating that, but also updating some of the references.
So I was going to ask you what's added by way of the piece. And I can only imagine, Carmela, just how much more there is now to this play and how relevant it is to today even.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of scary how relevant it is still. Over the past 15 years, especially with the Marcuses kind of being back in power, so there's a lot more reference to that, and just everything politically that has happened over the 15 years in the Philippines with Duterte. So, I mean, the play is about, but they do make reference to them. And again, just being a Filipina saying these words, and what, how people perceive, Filipino women. You know, we are always very kind, and people often kind of equate us to jobs of servitude, right? Either your nurse or even a nanny, or you know, things like that. So, I think there's a lot of perception. There's a different layer in this production that I didn't necessarily think about when I first took on the project, but it's very clear in how people receive the show.
And I've caught you in the middle of this run, so you've already performed. You've got performances still to go until I believe it's the 8th. What's the reaction been like from audiences?
It's been a wide range. I mean, I think people sometimes are shocked by it. It also depends on the audience itself. What the mix of Filipinos who understand Tagalog or some Tagalog versus a predominantly Anglo audience, because you know, especially with any translated work, there are just little nuances in culture and language that only folks who speak that language understand. It's been kind of a wide range, from just like wild and ruckus with a lot of young Filipinos just, like, getting every joke to a more, like, you know, conservative audience, just, like, you know, reading the surtitles and kind of, like, nodding along the way, and they're getting it, but it's, you know, they definitely have a different experience.
Yeah, and I noticed that some of the upcoming dates, there'll be talkbacks after the performance. I can't help but think that'll be useful, not just for the audience, but for you yourself.
Oh, totally, yeah, and I think I've been telling artists who I've been working with the past few years that, you know, there's one thing to write the translation adaptation, as in sitting down and just, you know, thinking of the words, but then actually performing it is a very different experience, mm-hmm. and what that feedback has been. And so, yeah, I'm really excited to talk to the talkback folks are going to be Derek Chan, who did a Cantonese version of The Feast of Empire. And then Joe is coming at the end of the week for our last show. And I'm also talking to Kasama Chocolate. So, yeah, I'm really, really curious and really excited for those conversations in terms of the adaptation and also food and globalization.
We'll talk about food in just a sec. You mentioned Derek Chan. So he's doing a version that's based on A Taste of Empire. Is that right?
No, he did. He did the first translation of it.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, he did it, I believe, in 2018. He translated into Cantonese Sikkien Hong, I think.
I was just looking at the Culture's website today, and I noticed that he's got a show coming up, I guess, later in the spring.
Yeah.
I think it's this show, right?
Yeah, that's his new show. It's called A Taste of Hong Kong, I think. So that's a show in development. And I don't know the history of that show in particular, but I'm sure A Taste of Empire has some sort of influence on that. But he did a separate show called...
I see.
Yeah, he did the Cantonese A Taste of Empire in 2018, and he toured it. He went to Toronto with it, and he was kind of my Rilianong Bongos tutor, really, throughout the process.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned, you know, the what's happening in the Philippines and, you know, in the world in general. You know, we're sort of contending with empires at the moment, it seems, all of us. We're also talking about the price of food and how to get food and the sort. I mean, this play says a lot about that and the food we consume, right?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I mean, it's, of course, there's a lot of irony in the play. And so I talk about, you know, where food comes from and how some laws give companies a lot of loopholes into making us believe we're buying something local when it's not. And just also our own perceptions of, like, what we can afford versus, you know, what local farmers can provide for us and, you know, what are those sacrifices we're making or lack of sacrifice, therefore, you know, what is more important to us. And, you know, it really investigates how the globalization of food has made everything so accessible to us, but at what cost? So, yeah, I think that's what people have been taking away from the show.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned the food itself, Rilianong Bongos. It is hard to make. I remember my dad used to make it, and he used to make Rilianong Manok as well, which is, for people listening, it's chicken.
Yeah.
And, you know, I noticed that, you know, he would put things in it like, you know, the wieners, but they weren't like, they were the ones in the tin. I guess Filipinos like that sort of food better than, you know, whatever's grown close to them. That's a sign, I guess, of the influence of empire, isn't it? Products that came in a tin because they came from abroad were more desirable than, say, you know, things that were homegrown. This dish itself, Rilianong Bongos, as I said, is hard to make, and yet it's so desirable for people to have at the dinner table, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and really great point about that influence, that Western influence of, you know, processed food. And there is a whole section about that in the play as well. The influence of American culture on Filipino culture and cuisine, and, you know, what that convenience has really brought to the Filipino culture.
So,
Rilianong Bongos is one of the hardest dishes, as in my mom does not make it. She only has it in the Philippines because, you know, there are other people who make it in the Philippines, or you just order it, right?
Yeah.
And so now it's funny because I make this dish every day.
Yeah.
And so she's expecting me to to cook it now. And I'm like, no, I am going to be so sick of this dish. But I will say it feels like a, almost like a party trick now. Mm. Like I know how to make it and I make it a very specific way. I you know, people have to come see the show how I make it, but, even the way I make it is very interesting. So, it feels like a little bit of another skill, a party trick that I have now.
So as a kid, I never liked it. Because I was always warned that there were too many bones. So the rilienong part is where you remove the bones. So whether it's bangos or chicken, you remove the bones from the animal, for lack of a better word, and then you stuff it. So do you do the bone removal on stage?
I don't do the bone removal on stage. We actually do it. We do end up having to do it beforehand. It is very tedious.
I would bet.
So
yeah.
Just to make sure that people are safe, we do it before the show.
Yeah. And so
and I still do warn people, like, because I get to serve it to them afterwards, and I still warn people, just be careful, just in case, because they're really thin. Bones are very thin. So, you know, you never know.
So you prepare this on stage and in the court, you know, you obviously have things that you're telling us. What is it like to do something on stage other than, say, you know, because you are in the middle of preparing a dish? And you're acting and you're performing at the same time. I mean, is it like you're talking to a layman here who's never done acting? Is it like juggling in the air? These different balls, say.
It is absolutely like juggling. That is actually the metaphor I've been using, because I'm juggling cooking this dish. I'm juggling still continuing the story and maintaining my character, but also the relationship with the audience. And then on top of that, a lot of like the technical things, like projections and sound and a lot of slideshow kind of things. So it is managing a lot of things. And for me, what I'm really, really learning and enjoying the most is that relationship with the audience. Of, you know, what they're thinking about the things that I'm saying, or how they're receiving the information that they're seeing and hearing. That's been really the kind of the joy of the past few days, of actually doing the show in front of an audience instead of just kind of being in rehearsal with just a director and, you know, some designers. So, it's a lot. It's a lot. But I'm having so much fun with it.
So, I mean, as an audience, we're going to get a lot of information, a lot of history, a lot of insight. We'll also get to have this dish. What's it stuffed with?
It's stuffed with the fish meat, and we add a sofrito, which is onion, garlic, and tomatoes, and then there's raisins and peas and potatoes and a special sauce.
Uh-huh.
So those are the things that are in it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it just sounds like a great sort of show to go to and get a lot out of, I mean, more than just say a taste of this food. What has it been like for you in terms of your own heritage and getting to connect with that as you do in your work? Because, I mean, you're doing La Cena Imperio now, but, I mean, you were in that show last year, as I recall. Whose name I've forgotten. I apologize. I had the playwright on the show, I believe. In terms of, say, reconnecting with your roots, if you will, what's that been like for you to be able to do that through your work as well?
Yeah, it's been really, really satisfying, and I'm just so grateful I get to do it. I was born in the Philippines and moved here when I was 7, so I've always felt quite connected to my Filipino roots, but I think in the past few years, especially kind of recently in my career, I've just had this desire to really reconnect with the culture in a deeper way, and to be to have full representation, and not just like, you know, not just having nurses or nannies in these places, but I need like a complete representation, just how diverse the Filipino community is. And in terms of working on this script and even Homecoming, like you know, asking family stories that I never really had the capacity to think about before, even in terms of language, just realizing how colonized the language is and how much the culture is influenced by Western culture or Spanish culture. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's been a roller coaster. It's been very emotional. It's been very satisfying, and it's been just so beautiful to just be able to, you know, say some lines that like in the play talk in like a Tagalog way, not in like a Taglish sort of way, which is how I would usually speak in Tagalog.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's something about just reclaiming the language that has been so satisfying to me.
You mentioned Homecoming, and I had to look it up. It's Camila Sediego, the playwright of that, who was on the program back in April of 2024. I can't help but think that you know, you're obviously getting something out of this for yourself, but for audiences who saw Homecoming, who'll see this show, and everything else, will I guess, you know, as you used the word reclaim a moment ago, I mean, it's a wonderful word in terms of, say, getting something back that some of us have lost, some of us have tried to get rid of while trying to fit in this country. I can't help but think, you know, just how much richer our culture is because of it all. I mean, you must feel that every night when you're performing.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, saying this play in Tagalog or Taglish or any combination of it throughout, and seeing Filipinos out there really reacting and really getting the jokes, like, I've never had that experience in my career. Because I've always worked in, like, Western theater where, you know, I have a British dialect or, you know, I'm saying Shakespearean lines, you know. So to be able to say Filipino jokes and, like, have just, a rip-roaring laugh from a tita in the audience, you're just like, this is what representation is. And it's so beautiful. Such a beautiful experience.
And it's the future, too, because, I mean, you know, you're bringing people into a theater who might not go to the Shakespeare or, you know, the Oscar Wilde adaptation or whatever. And you know, they'll come back, won't they?
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And I think that's what, it's kind of like one of the curses of having one of the few kind of Filipino things is, you know, the question is like, oh, what's next? Anong susunod? And I'm like, I haven't even finished this one yet. Let's focus on this one.
That was going to be my last question is, you know, what's next? But
well, there are a lot of things going on in the city in terms of Filipino representation. Mm-hmm. Grandma Gangsta Gorilla by Abby Padilla is coming up.
That's the presentation house, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So I encourage people to go to that. I do have a show coming up in the spring, but it's not necessarily Filipino. It's called Meeting. It's at Pacific Theater. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping to bring this show to more people. We've had a little bit of interest already, so, you know, yeah, but nothing has been confirmed or anything, but I think I've been, the excitement around the show is something I didn't expect, and yet I'm so blessed to be experiencing. I'm so, so thankful.
Well, long may it continue and break a leg, as I say. So appreciate your time today. Thanks for the time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
The show is called Lasa ng Imperio. It's at the Push Festival on Granville Island. The venue is at the Nest on Granville Island. And it has performances tonight, the 4th of February through to Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and a matinee on Saturday. Visit pushfestival.ca for tickets and information. The show's star, Carmela Sison, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.